Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And of course, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We'd love to have you give us a call tonight, but I know you can't always call in. And sometimes you can't even always make it through the whole show, but that's okay. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to our past programs there. We have them updated on there. Sometimes it takes me a little more time than others to get on there. I was just checking. I think our last one on there, we are updated currently through the 10th of December. So not too bad, I guess, all things considering. Been a busy week this past week, so I wasn't sure how far up to date I was on that. But we have both hours of our Sunday night program, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. You can find that and goes back for quite a ways. And then also, if you're not aware, we have a Friday afternoon program every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on this station. And you can find those also at livewithpastoral.com. And just click on livewithpastoral.com, go all the way down on the right-hand side of the page, and you will find those things. And there's some other stuff that's there I'll get to in a few minutes. But do want to open the program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, again, we just pray that you would bless and use the program for thy glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is the main sponsor of the program. And if you go to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com, you can also link over to our page for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find out more about me. You can find out more about the church and different things that are there. I'm going to point out here before I forget about it that coming up next week, 1 week from tonight, of course, is Christmas Eve. Most of you are aware of that. And on Christmas Eve at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we're going to be having our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. And that will start at 6 o'clock. It's a normal time for our Sunday night evening service. But if you're not doing anything on Christmas Eve, we'd love to have you come out and visit with us. Basically, what we'll be doing is singing some Christmas songs. We've got a variety of songs that are available to sing in our songbooks. And yes, we still use songbooks in our church. And we have some other ones, some printed ones that we have. And so we'll be singing. Everybody will get a chance to pick some favorite Christmas songs and just sharing some blessings of the past year as we just enjoy an evening just to sit back and relax. It gets kind of hectic and busy as everybody's trying to do things, getting ready for Christmas and the various holidays. Got New Year's coming up after that. We just came out of Thanksgiving, and then of course our Jewish friend just finished celebrating Hanukkah, and all these things going on. Busy time of the year. It's easy to get so caught up with everything that's going on that you forget why we celebrate Christmas. It's a celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we do this every year. We've been doing it for As long as I've been the pastor here at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is 20-some years, since 1997, I believe it is. And prior to that, my wife and I started doing this when we started a church down in the Samoan Islands back in the 1990s. And that's where I actually developed the Christmas reading that we use. And that reading is called The Birth of Christ, as recorded in the scriptures. And you can actually go to our website and find that at livewithpastoral.com. And you can actually download that. You can get a copy of that for yourself, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. And it stems from a desire that we had to read the Christmas story at our church in Samoa. And a lot of people resort to using Luke's account of the Nativity of Christ. And the problem is, Luke's account is good, but there's a lot that it leaves out, and for that you need Matthew. And then there's some other things. And I had found a booklet many, many years ago. I don't even remember exactly where I got it. And the author of the booklet had strung together some passages from the New Testament and a few Old Testament prophecies and a few other things and a couple different things to kind of string them together to make a narrative of the birth of Christ. And we used that, but I thought, well, we can improve on this and get rid of the extraneous words so that it's only Scripture. Nothing else, because the original one that I followed had a few extra words used to link the passages together, and I tinkered with it, and over the years we worked it out to where we have a continuous narrative entirely from the King James Bible. And if you know our church and listen to our program long, you know I take a strong stand on the King James Bible. We don't harp on it every week, but we do take a strong stand on the King James Bible and use that exclusively in our ministries for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons is you just cannot match the majestic language of the King James Bible when you're thinking about the birth of Christ. And so the King James Bible, of course, records the birth of Christ. And this booklet, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scripture, is entirely the words of the King James Bible. There's nothing extraneous involved. There's no phrases or anything to link passages together. And we produced a continuous narrative from the Old Testament prophecies of Christ to their fulfillment in the birth of Christ, covering everything from the announcement of the coming birth to the arrival in Bethlehem, the announcement to the shepherds, and all the things that took place there, including the wise men coming to see Herod and then going to see the baby Jesus, the young child, and all the things up until the time that Jesus as a young boy went into the temple at about the age of 12 or so. And so it's all in the narrative of the Bible. Nothing added, and just kind of linked together. And it's surprising how all these different passages, Old Testament scriptures, Gospels, Paul's epistles in the New Testament, all can go together seamlessly and give you a continuous narrative from the prophecies to the announcements to the actuality of the birth of Christ and the events that took place immediately after that. And a lot of people use it as a reading at home at Christmas time, or even in their churches, and I'm always excited when people do that, and that's why we made it available free. King James Bible is not copywritten. It's another reason for using the King James Bible. You don't have to worry about copyright infringements, and it's free for you to download and share it with your family and friends. Share it with your church. And I'll be reading through that, I should say, at our Christmas Eve candlelight service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church 1 week from tonight. And, of course, that starts at 6 o'clock. And after we sing some Christmas carols, I'll read through that. and then we share some blessings of the past year, and we usually close with Silent Night, and then we have fellowship. We usually have plenty of Christmas cookies, things like that, and other things. So you're more than welcome, if you're not doing anything, visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield this coming Sunday, week from tonight, at 6 p.m. for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Of course, you're invited to all of our services. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday evenings, other than Christmas Eve, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. In fact, we just started Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 tonight. So we've been at Proverbs for a while. And then every Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we have an informal Bible study, which actually was the genesis of this program. And so we have that every Friday night, 7 to 9. And it's very informal. We have refreshments, plenty of refreshments usually, and we just spend some time fellowshipping and asking questions about the Bible and trying to understand the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. That's how we came up with the idea of the program. We decided to use what we do in the Bible study only on the air, and we've been doing that for just over 17 years now, so I guess it works a little bit, but we'd love to have you come out and visit. You can find all that information out if you go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And click on the link to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And other things that you can find there, too, I was going to mention, we have a number of things that are some of the social media that we're on. And everything from Facebook and Twitter to Truth Social and Frank Social we got Cloud Hub and Getter and Gab and MeWe and Minds and a number of other ones there. We're also on Telegram, and you can find some of those links there all at livewithpastoral.com. So hope that'll be a blessing to you there. Hopefully be encouraged. Plus, there's a number of articles that are there. And I have at the beginning now, just put it up on the 14th, my Christmas collection. And I've got several things that are linked there. There are several articles. The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well. That's the most recent one. Talking about the same spirit that motivated Herod to kill the Jewish babies. Same spirit of anti-Semitism, hatred of the Jewish people, the devil's hatred of the Jewish people is alive and well in the world today. And then we have another one, I think this was last year, Christmas Tree or Idolatry, an examination of Jeremiah and the Christmas tree. And is that what Jeremiah had in mind? Well, I'll give you a hint. If you go out into the woods and cut down your tree and strip all the branches off from it, strip all the bark off from it, fasten it so that it doesn't move and carve it into the shape of a man or something else, and then hammer gold and silver on it to plate it and then bow down and worship it, then maybe so. But that's what Jeremiah is talking about, at least. And you can read that, Christmas Tree or Idolatry. And then the other one I've got is, why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? What was the purpose? Is it more than just fulfilling a sign? There's a lot to it there. And one of them is that Jesus could not have an earthly father, because otherwise he would have inherited a sin nature. And of course, Jesus was without sin. So it wasn't merely to fulfill a prophecy. It was necessary for Jesus to be our Savior. And then who were the shepherds? Were they just any old group of shepherds that were out watching their sheep by night? Or was it a special group, Levitical shepherds, who were overseeing the birth of the Passover lambs, that when they were born, they would inspect them to make sure they were perfect, and then wrap a cloth around them and swaddle them and lay them aside in the manger, basically, so that they wouldn't get injured or mixed up with the others. It begins to make you understand why the sign that the angel said that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger was so important. And then, in addition to that, I've got another article. Why was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? Well, Short answer there, he had to be. Can you imagine trying to nail God onto the cross? It couldn't have been done unless he took the form of a man and was made a little lower than the angels, which was necessary again for our salvation, so that he could be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so we've got that. Of course, the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures is linked to that as well. And then I've got two parodies. One is 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, and the other one is How the ACLU Stole Christmas with Apologies to Dr. Seuss. So you can find all of that at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And one more thing I want to mention before we get to our callers here. And again, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Next week, here on the program, our Christmas Eve radio program, distinct from our Christmas Eve candlelight service at church, on the radio program from 10 till midnight a week from tonight, I am going to be joined in the studio with Pastor John Lutz, pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church. And we've got a special program planned. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we've got in those articles that I just mentioned. We'll be talking about some other things. We're going to be talking about Christmas, and we're going to be talking about what we as Christians ought to be doing and thinking during this time of the year. And then, of course, in the last hour, probably in the last half hour of the program, we'll conclude with a reading of the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. So I hope you'll be able to tune in next week on our Christmas Eve radio program, special program with Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, who will be joining me for the program. So we're looking forward to it. In the meanwhile, we're going to continue doing the work that God's called us to do. And that right now is taking your phone calls. And with that in mind, we are going to switch over here to Nancy, who has called in and is waiting for us patiently tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program. Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the program next week. Tonight I was going to sort of a takeoff on Pastor Andy had an excellent lesson for Bible study on Wednesday on the book of Titus.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how I missed this, that it's so profound. This book is very small, like 2 or 3 pages, depending on the size of your Bible, but it's so complete.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm saying this right. Pastor Andy said, if you only can see one book of the Bible, Titus is very complete about how to get saved, the characteristics of good Christian leaders, the grace of God, and just many, many other things. And I just never seemed to be aware of that. And then, you know, especially like it's a verse that you have talked about numerous times, Titus 2:13,
mm-hmm.
looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to remember what you said that represents. Did you say that represents the rapture and the tribulation? I'm trying to remember. You said it was 2 events.
And I would echo what Pastor Rusnacko has said about Titus. This is a fascinating book, and it's a short book. Like you said, there's only 3 chapters, and they're not long chapters. I think chapter 1 has 16 verses, chapter 2 has 15, and chapter 3 has 15 verses, so not that long, but it is packed with all kinds of information and doctrine and things. And what you referenced there in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, that's actually the middle of a long sentence that starts in verse 12 and runs down through verse 14. So it's the middle of the sentence.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it really is, and I just wanted to echo this to get to lead up to, you know, what I was talking about looking for that blessed hope and all. And this echoes what you were saying that you were doing in your Bible study with Pastor Snacko there. He says in Let me just take a quick look here a second. Actually, it starts in verse number 11. I was looking at that in the comma. It looked like a period here mm-hmm. under these lights. And so it actually starts in verse number 11. And so it talks about our salvation in verse 11. It talks about how we ought to live in verse 12. And then verse 13 talks about what we ought to look forward to. And then verse mm-hmm. 14 talks about why, because Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So verse 13 here, when it talks about what we ought to be looking forward to, says looking for that blessed hope. And then there's a comma there. And after mm-hmm. the comma, it gives us something else. So this is a second thing to look forward to. The first mm-hmm. thing is looking for that blessed hope. Second thing is looking for, he says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And, mm-hmm. And as I read that, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, there's no comma there. And so there's actually a very powerful statement of the deity of Christ there. The great God, our Savior, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. That's what it's literally saying. The great mm-hmm. God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the great God is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what mm-hmm. Paul's telling Titus there. So we're looking forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus. So that's two separate events that we're looking forward to.
Yes.
And they are uh-huh. separated in time by the tribulation period. And that'll mm-hmm. fall in between those two events. The glorious appearing of Christ is when Jesus returns to the world in glory with the armies of heaven accompanying him at the conclusion of the seven-year tribulation period.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Revelation chapter 19, also Zechariah chapters 12, 13, 14, talks about the events leading up to the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ himself returns from heaven. And, you know, in Revelation 19, it talks about how we come with him. And then he defeats the armies of the Antichrist and the beast or the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown in the lake of fire. Satan is bound into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So that's the one event that concludes the tribulation period and then sets the stage for the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. But mm-hmm. that blessed hope is what we're looking forward to, because that's referring to the catching away of the believers that Paul refers to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he talks in 1 Thessalonians about us being caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this mortal puts on immortality, is corruptible, puts on incorruption. And that's referring to God catching the believers out of the world. And that's mm-hmm. prior to the tribulation period, because mm-hmm. as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, we're not appointed under wrath. And the tribulation period is a time of wrath. It's the 70th week of years, so that's 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Week of years is 7 years, and instead of a week of days. And it's the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. The first 69 weeks of years have been fulfilled and were put on hold when Messiah was cut off. And that was Jesus when he was crucified. And now we're in this parenthetical period of time that will end with the catching away of the believers, and then God will resume dealing with the world through the Jewish people like he did in the mm-hmm. Old Testament, and that'll be the last final 7 years of that 70 weeks of years, which is designed to fulfill everything and make reconciliation, deal with Israel's sin, and then allow Jesus to become assume his position on the throne of David, ruling over not only Israel, but the whole world. And so there are two exciting things that we look at, the blessed hope, the catching away mm-hmm. of the believers, and the glorious appearing of Jesus, which is at the end of the tribulation. And so it's very interesting when you look at it. It's exciting when you think about it. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be caught up in the air. And that's our hope, that we'd be caught up before we have to go through death's door, that we'd be caught up before we have to go through much more trial and tribulation and turmoil in this world. That's the great hope, and looking forward to seeing our Lord. And then, of course, we'll return with Christ in the glorious appearing at the end of the tribulation. So, yeah, two events there encapsulated right there in one verse in the middle of a sentence that just puts in perspective our entire Christian life right there in just a few verses.
Amen, yes. Well, thank you for explaining all that.
Yes.
Very exciting, all the things that are happening. And so much is contained in the book of Titus, like you and Pastor Andy said. Amen.
Yeah, and again, it's a book. You could sit down, you could read this without any trouble. It's not a hard read. You can read a few minutes, and you just sit down. It's not difficult, and it's very understandable in many parts. If you know Christ as your Savior, it'll certainly encourage you and help you. And if you're investigating, trying to figure out the claims of Christianity and earnestly searching for the truth, there's a lot in here that the Spirit of God can use to open your eyes to help the unsaved person understand the gospel so that they can get saved. So it's a great book.
Well, thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, thank you as well, and God bless you as well. And hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got a few minutes before we're going to start a break here, we'll be going till midnight tonight. And we've got Terry calling in here this evening. We'll get Terry on here and probably have to hold him through the break, I'm sure. But Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
That's not too long away, eh?
No. A week and an hour and, just turned 20 or 33 minutes, according to the clock here I'm just looking at. Just turned to 10:27. So
you'll be on next week, Toy.
We will be on, but I should have let Nancy know. We will not be able to be taking phone calls. Everybody's kind of short-staffed because of Christmas and everything, so we won't be able to be taking any phone calls, but we will have a program on the air, and that's why I got Pastor Lutz helping me out. So I won't have you and Nancy helping me out next week. So,
yeah, that's at your affiliate station. I just listened to the end of it, and they were saying that I'll see you in 2 weeks, so I kind of figured something was up.
Yeah, and they're... Yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about I know which program you're talking about. They're actually down in West Virginia, and so I'm not sure how their work everything there, but we will have a program, and Pastor Lutz and I, as I said, we'll be talking about all things Christmas, so from the Bible.
I was listening to one of your one of the people who are running for president. On TV, on CNN.
Yes.
I can't remember. I had a hard time with his name, but he's a Sikh.
I'm trying to think of his name. I'm going to get it wrong myself. Now you said it. Yeah, Ramaswamy. Vivek, right? Vivek Ramaswamy. He's actually from Ohio. And, he's a pretty strong, conservative voice. Go ahead.
Oh, he said that he went. He's not following Christianity.
No, he's not a born again Christian by any means. And I wasn't 100% sure. Didn't know, because there's several that are in that area where he's from. You've got, of course, the Sikhs, the Hindus, and then you've got the Jain. And here where I'm at, where our church is, not too terribly far from us, we actually have a Sikh temple and a Jain temple and a Hindu temple. How's that? And so you get a lot of crossover on some of this. So I wasn't sure exactly which one of the three he was. But I knew he wasn't Christian.
What's that? All religions, to my understanding.
The Sikhs are kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting. I'm trying to think, it was President or Prime Minister of India. Usually their personal guards are Sikhs, have been, or at least used to be, at least through Indira Gandhi. She had Sikh bodyguards, and then since then, I'm not sure if they have been the entire time. But it's a very interesting group, and I know it's not spelled S-E-E-K, it's S-I something or other, but the name Sikh, you know, they're always seeking something, but they can never find anything. Terry, if you can hold on, we got a break, yep. And we'll be right back. So stay tuned. We've got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, of course, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, read a variety of articles there, and a number of other things that we have available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We just had some information on that. Invite you to come join us for our Christmas Eve candlelight service 1 week from tonight, Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's Suite 200. We're in a commercial suite. If you're looking for a building with steeple, you're not going to find us. But if you're looking in a commercial suite, look for our door, Suite 200, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. It's at the corner of Rexville Road and Wheatley Road, near where 271 and 77 cross in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland. We'd love to have you come out and visit us during our Christmas Eve candlelight service. If you're not doing anything and you want to just put your focus back, just at least for a little while, on Jesus as the reason that we celebrate Christmas, just at least for a little while, we'd love to have you come out and visit. And then, of course, there's some other materials there. And Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, is the main sponsor of our program. We're also sponsored, I would like to add, by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I think it's the best pizza in the area. And it's phenomenal. Talking about it makes me want to go get one. But they're closed right now, so couldn't do it anyways. Besides, somebody's got to do the radio program. So here I am. But East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, as I said, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. And if you want to get into the pizza business yourself, call and talk to Gus there at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100, and he can help you get set up in your own pizza business, not a franchise. Be your own business. He'd be glad to help you out. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. If you've got a call or a question about current events in light of God's Word, a question about the Bible, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry on the phone with us. And just before the break, Terry and I started talking. And Terry, I believe you asked something about the Sikhs and some things. So
yes.
Welcome back onto the program.
Thank you. I was going to mention. I just didn't mention the Sikhs. Like I've done a little bit of studying about them, but mm-hmm. they're kind of weird.
Well, and I was going to say. Remember, going into the break, I was saying even though it's not spelled S E E K, it's actually S I K H. It sounds like they're always looking. They're always seeking. And I actually looked it up in the break, and it said the word Sikh means learner or seeker of truth. And so I wasn't far off on that. But the problem with it is they're always seeking, but they're never arriving at the knowledge of the truth, are they?
Right. They're never coming to the understanding knowledge of the truth. Yeah.
Right. And that's the problem. I mean, you know, Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 7, where he said, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always seeking, but it's always just out of their grasp, it seems like. So
yeah, and it all boils down to who Jesus is.
Well, and that's exactly right. I was talking about that with our church just today, I think, a little bit. And you know, what do people make of Jesus? You know, a lot of people talk about Jesus and believe that Jesus exists. In fact, right. in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it says in verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They're talking about Jesus. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? And none of them had any doubt that there was a person named Jesus standing in front of them. But some of them thought, well, you know, he's a prophet. Some of them thought, well, could he be the Christ, the Messiah? Earlier in verse 12, it says, and this is some of the same people, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, he's a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. And so you had all this back and forth. They didn't deny Jesus existed, but it's what they thought of Jesus that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what when Peter stepped in.
Right, right. Remember, because Jesus had said, who do people say that I am? And they talked about, I think that's back in what, Matthew chapter 16, I think. Let's see here. Let me just flip back here just a second. Matthew 16, here it is, in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Yeah, so you had people with all kinds of different thoughts. They didn't doubt that Jesus existed. They just doubted who and what he was.
Yeah, and we in this country, I'm sure that in your country you had the same problem.
Right.
But our prime minister here is accepting so many people from the Muslim country and India and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I would say, but the problem is that they're bringing all their false religions with them.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, United States, of course, we have freedom of religion. And I just point out as an aside here, I talked about this at length on our Friday program. This past Friday, December the 15th, was actually the anniversary. It was the Bill of Rights Day, because it was on December 15th, and I know I'm going to get the date wrong going from memory here. I believe it was 1789. I don't think it was 89. It was 80 something. I think it was 1789 is when the Bill of Rights was submitted, and then it was in 1781 or so when it was ratified. But anyway, it was ratified on December 15th, and the Bill of Rights starts out with the First Amendment, which has to do with freedom of religion. So we had that codified and into our Constitution, not just implicit. Many people didn't think it was necessary because they thought, well, it's implicit in the preamble to the U.S. Constitution and in some of the other portions of it. But there was enough people, Reverend John Leland, who is a very influential leader of the Baptists in Virginia, was very key in getting James Madison convinced that they needed a Bill of Rights, otherwise they would not support the new Constitution. And if that had happened, the United States might never have become what it is, because they would have not ratified the Constitution. It would have probably broke up into 2-3 more countries. But at any rate, kind of getting off there a little bit, but freedom of religion, it doesn't necessarily mean that all religions are equal, does it?
No.
Yeah, and
only one true religion.
Right, and at the time of the founding of the United States, and of course in the early days of Canada, in the same time frame, late 1700s, early 1800s, in the same time frame, Canada and the United States both, when they talked about religion, generally speaking, they were talking about Christianity, weren't they?
Yes.
And you had a Jewish presence. I know in the United States, you had a Jewish presence in New York City, which is interesting because New York City, when it was New Amsterdam as a Dutch colony, they had a shipload of Jews that arrived, and they didn't know what to do with them, and so they let them stay, and they were originally bound, I think, for someplace in South America, but they let them stay, and they sent word back to the Netherlands to find out what they should do with them, and they basically got word back saying, as long as they'll obey the law and won't cause problems, let them live there in peace, and they did. And, the Bible says God will bless those that bless Israel, curse those that curse Israel. New York City went on to become one of the greatest cities ever in the world history. And they were one of the first places in the New World to have a welcoming presence for the Jewish people. And then later on, we had the state of Rhode Island founded. We had Roger Williams and Dr. John Clark, who were banished from Massachusetts colony for religious beliefs. They were Baptists, and they did not want to adhere to the Congregationalist Church, and so they were banished for having unlawful religious meetings. and they founded, ended up founding Rhode Island. And Rhode Island was a welcoming center of religious freedom, and a number of Jewish people found a welcome home in Rhode Island. In fact, the oldest continuously occupied or used synagogue in the United States is in, I think, Providence, Rhode Island, as a result of that. So I'm not sure up in Canada, and I know there's probably some similar stories there. So basically, the religion that they're talking about was essentially Christianity, but there was a recognition of the Jewish people, so you could use the term the Judeo-Christian worldview. Even people who weren't saved, like our President Thomas Jefferson, I don't believe he was ever saved, but he certainly had a Judeo-Christian worldview, even though there's a lot of the Bible he didn't believe, but still had essentially a what we call Judeo-Christian worldview, as did many of our early leaders here in the United States and Canada. And so when they were talking about religious freedom, they basically thought that nobody should tell you how to worship God. But of course, the devil is using that today to bring in all these false religions that...
You know, I heard something that Trudeau signed a bill saying that if anybody speaks anything against the Muslims, for instance, can be put in jail.
Well, and see, that's why I'm thankful that we have codified into our Constitution the Bill of Rights, where we, and a lot of people don't understand it, but the First Amendment, the first 10 amendments to our Constitution is what constitutes the Bill of Rights. But the First Amendment in our Constitution is actually one sentence, and it's really one freedom. People like to divide it up into several freedoms. December 15th, 1791. I was right, 1791. And that's when it was codified. But when it, and let me just read it real quick because it's just one sentence. It's not very long. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. And see, the whole main subject of that sentence is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Everything there about freedom of speech, press, peaceable assembly, and petitioning the government for redress of grievances is all subordinate to the main clause, which is making no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise there, meaning religious freedom. So speech, right, press, and assembly, and petitioning the government all has to do with supporting religious freedom. People got that turned around now. They think that religious freedom is just a side note in that. That the main thing in there is the freedom of the press and freedom of speech and all that. But, and so thankfully we've got that. So if our Congress, if our president was to sign a law like what you're saying Trudeau did in Canada, hopefully our courts would strike that down as unconstitutional, and this would be the basis. Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof. And if a federal official creates a law that says you cannot say anything contrary, anything that says that Muslims are not going to heaven, let's say, or whatever the religion might be. You can't say anything against any religion. That's the law now. Well, we can point to this and say, no, you cannot make a law prohibiting the free exercise of my religion, which includes telling me what I can or cannot say, what I can or cannot print, what I can or cannot assemble in order to talk about these things. And when you try to, you can't restrict me from petitioning the government for redress of grievances. See how that works together. Yeah. And
we have the same laws here.
Right.
I should have the right to say what I believe.
Exactly. And see,
different.
And see, that's where, you know, hopefully some people in Canada will get together and they will challenge what has been, put forward by Trudeau and get that removed. Because if you're going to have true freedom of religion, and then somebody turns around and tells you, you can believe what you want to believe, but you can't say that somebody else is wrong, which they're, of course, doing exactly what they say you can't do because they're saying you're wrong, which they said you can't do, but they're doing it. No, you don't have freedom of religion if you don't have free speech or free press. If you can't write a, you know, go out and write an article saying why you believe that the Muslims are a false religion, and you can't stand up and speak and give a talk about why you believe that Islam is a false religion, if you can't do that, you do not have freedom of religion. You absolutely do not. And then
that's a huge problem in this world.
Exactly. And then if you had some people get together and they said, well, listen, here's the Bible. Let's study the Bible. The Bible says Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. How can these people claim that Jesus is not the way? They're wrong. Oh, well, yeah, we're going to bust you up, send the police in, because you're not allowed to assemble and say things like that. Well, then you don't have freedom of religion, do you?
No. And they say it's called hate speech.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's not hate. I feel love towards them by telling them the truth that they're wrong.
Well, let me put it this way.
I do it in a loving way.
It's hate speech, but it's hate speech toward Christians because they hate to hear the truth.
Right. What they speak out of the abundance of their heart, so does a person speak, right?
Exactly.
So what they accuse another is what they're guilty of.
Yes, and you know, in psychology they call that projection. You know, projecting their faults, projecting their troubles on other people. You know, we see that with our current administration, you know, pointing to Trump saying, you know, he's corrupted by foreign leaders. And you got Biden, who's there bought and paid for by the Chinese, the Chi-Coms, and, Chinese communists. And, but they're trying to say he's bought and paid for, and just on and on and on. Everything they accuse him of is the things that they're doing. And you see this. They hate the truth. You know, Jesus said, remember, he said that the world would hate you because why? Because the world hates him. And we're his representatives. They don't like the light.
They hate the dark. They hate the light.
Yeah, they love darkness. Man loves darkness because his deeds are evil. I told a story when I went into basic training when I was in the Air Force. Our sergeant, this is of course way before LEDs. This is back in 1983. I'm down at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, and we had I believe it was a tile floor or something. Or maybe it was like a linoleum type floor, but it wasn't wood. I just remember that. And we had to sweep and mop the barracks. And then our sergeant would come in, our drill sergeant would come in, and he had this flashlight. Remember those big flashlights that the police used to carry? I mean, it looked like it was about 4 feet long, looked like a baton, you know, had all those batteries on the end and a big bulb on the one end. I know it wasn't quite 4 feet long. It was had to be at least 3.5, though. No, but it was big. It was a big flashlight, and it was a powerful beam. And after we got everything cleaned, he would get down on the floor, and he'd lay that flashlight on the floor, and he would shine it across the floor. And if there was one little grain of sand, one little speck of dust or a little dust bunny that we missed somewhere, it would cast a shadow. And he'd say, "You call this place clean?" And he'd make us sweep and mop it again. You know, that's just one of the things they do. I think he threw sand grains out there just for the excuse, but we used to hate the flashlight coming out because we knew as soon as he had that flashlight out, we were going to have to do the whole cleaning process again, because the light would show what we thought was clean. It would show up any little bits of dirt, and that's why the world hates Christ, because he's the light, and when he shines into the human heart, somebody might justify themselves as being clean, not so bad. But the light of Christ shining into the human heart doesn't look so good, does it?
Yeah, so. And you know, there's one thing that Jesus hates. Jesus hates all ungodliness. I had the scripture, but I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
He hates. He has a right to hate who he wants to hate and love who he wants to love.
Right.
And of course, all workers of iniquity. That's the word. That's the scripture.
Yeah, workers of iniquity. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. And so, yeah, we have a response then to the light of Christ, don't we? We can either get cleaned out by allowing Jesus to, you know, to wash us of our sins with his own blood. That's the process of salvation. You know, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. And then we put our faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. He cleanses us. He cleans our heart. He washes us with the washing of the water of his word. And then the blood of Christ cleanses us, makes us clean. And that's what we need. Or we can shout against the light and try to hide from it, right?
Yeah, and everybody can hide all they want, but then when the Lord comes,
yeah,
you know, he said he will draw all men unto himself.
Yeah, and of course, there's going to come a time where it'll be too late for some, they'll be departing, you know, those that hate the light eventually would depart into outer darkness, the Bible talks about. Hey, Terry, we just got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the in this hour, so... hopefully we covered a few things there that you had to talk about tonight.
Yes.
So.
And I wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you as well. Like I said, we will not be able to have call-ins next week. Pastor Lutz and I hopefully will be a blessing for people for Christmas. And so, in fact, I gotta get in touch with him.
Well, Sunday, are you gonna be on air? Not on air, but on Sunday night.
Yeah, our Sunday night program. That's what I said. Pastor Lutz is gonna be joining me. We're doing a special program Sunday night for Christmas Eve. Since we won't be able to have people calling in, I thought, I'm going to have somebody in with me, and we're going to get together, and we're going to try to put together a nice program, be a blessing to people for Sunday night, talking about all things Christmas from the Bible, from the biblical perspective. So hopefully
it'll
be a blessing.
I like when you two guys get together.
We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. In fact, I know we're just running out of time quickly. I had a great time with his church, the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, a week ago Saturday, where he asked me to speak at his annual Christmas banquet, and they had a great time there. So I always enjoy when he fills in for me on our Friday program, or when he gives me an opportunity to fill in for him on his Friday program. And then sometimes we combine our two programs, because he's on at 1 o'clock every Friday afternoon. I'm on at 1:30. And when we combine, that gives us an hour together. And of course, that's right here on AM 1220, the Word, here in Northeastern Ohio. So always exciting, always something good to talk about. But Terry, again, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for calling in faithfully all these, I'd say all these years now. It's been a while. I appreciate that. Appreciate the subjects that you bring up. And, of course, I know other people listen, and you bring up things that people are questioning as well. And you bring us some valuable perspective from our northern neighborhood there in Canada, just like with Prime Minister Trudeau and some of his actions and things that are going on. And we here in America certainly need to pray for our neighbors there in Canada. So thank you again, Terry. And we're going to take a quick break here. And stay tuned. We've got another whole hour to go tonight. During the Cold War, pictures depicting Jesus Christ in workman's coveralls holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest were circulated throughout Latin America, promoting liberation theology by proclaiming Jesus was a communist. Liberation theology, birthed in the bowels of the KGB headquarters in Moscow, was an effort to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. At the same time, communists and their leftist sympathizers infiltrated Christian seminaries and churches throughout North America and Europe. Again, the goal was to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. Today, we see the fruit of those efforts. Churches that should be sounding the alarm against communism are either silent or promoting it. God says, "Come out from among them." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders are sounding the alarm.